This weekend, I had a good time up at the lake with some of my guy friends from the school. And as we often do when we get together, we pose various challenges to one another. I don't know, sort of a machismo thing. And one of the challenges that we had was there's this 30 to 35 foot cliff to jump off of into Smith Lake. And that may not sound that high, but trust me, when you get up there, it is that high. I jumped off of it last year. This, by the way, several people have done this. There's no rocks beneath, if you're concerned. And I went up there and I said, I told Millie, I said, let's go jump off this cliff. And she said, that's fine. I said, I think the boys would enjoy it. She said, that's great, but you do it first, if they're going to do it. I said, well, okay, that's fair. And I stood up there and I stared down for about 10 minutes and Caleb was standing behind me and he started clucking like a chicken. So I thought, you know, I'm going to do a backflip off this thing. So I did jump. But we were sort of jumping off of it this weekend. And one of those men that were among us is one of my dearest and oldest friends. And to be honest with you, I did not think he would jump. Just knowing his situation and his past, I thought to myself, I wouldn't do it. See, he's only been learning to swim for a little over a year now. When he grew up, he had two friends that died in water accidents. He had a near drowning experience. So I thought to myself, you know, he's not going to do this. And everyone was, encouraging him to try. And so we got up on Saturday and we went back out to the spot because he wasn't there when we went Friday. And a couple of the guys said, look, man, if you do it, we'll do it. And so they got out of the boat and they swam over and climbed up there. And a couple of guys jumped first, leading the way. And one stood back and just kind of talked him through it. Walked him to the edge, showed him the challenge, told him what he was about to experience. This is a good metaphor for us today as we talk about Peter and where he is in his life. In John chapter 21, where he's going to be challenged. And this is going to be our sixth part of our series on the smoothing of the stones in God's presence and the final encounter in the Gospels that Peter has with Christ, the third one. A lot has happened in these few years with Peter. He was called to follow Christ. That's where we started. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's interesting. The word follow me in the book of Matthew in this first encounter, or it's actually Peter's second encounter with Christ. The word follow me is different than John 21, verse 19. It's a different word. Follow me in Matthew, on this second encounter with Christ, really had to do with come and check it out and learn some things. Literally, come hither. Walk. Let's walk together. Let me teach you a few things. And he had, as we've talked about, several essential lessons and experiences. He fell several times, but Jesus continued to relentlessly pursue him and break into his world. He understood a few things now that are fundamental and essential to living the Christian life. And that's where Christ started with him. About forgiveness. About you can't live the Christian life. Christ lives the Christian life through us when he breathed the Holy Spirit on him. Several essential lessons as Christ began and continued to break into his world, even when he failed. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'll meet you in Galilee. My concern for you and for me is that many of us stop right there. And we're content with the notion that Christ has broken into our world and that he's faithful and that he forgives. That's essential. I don't want to downplay that. That's fundamental in the Christian walk in life. But you're going to see in John chapter 21, Jesus is going to lay out a cost of discipleship to Peter to challenge him. Do you really want to live this Christian life? Do you want to advance my kingdom on earth to my glory? Then let's take this step together. This word, follow me, in verse 19 of John 21, talks about a union like a bone and a joint. Inseparable. Where Peter is to follow him wherever he goes and do whatever he calls him to do. This is the next step for Peter. He was obedient. He was told to go to Galilee. And he did, and he waited. And Christ would come once again and lovingly confront him and call him to a deeper place. In this picture we have here, and it's, I wish I could blow it up more, but you see Peter grasping the hand of Jesus, and you know the story where they're out fishing, they fished all night, they've caught nothing, and then Jesus shows up on the shore and tells them to fish on the right side of the boat, and they caught 153 fish. And Peter, in his typical, impetuous, driven way, dives out of the boat and swims to the shore to meet Jesus. The rest of the disciples come in on the boat. You got to love Peter. And Jesus is there. I love this scene. It's maybe my favorite chapter in the Bible. I mean, where Jesus is cooking breakfast for them and invites them to eat. There's a lot there. One is obvious. He's proving to them the actual physical resurrection of His body. That's not the first time He's eaten with them. I'm not a spirit. I physically resurrected. It's more than that, though. He prepares a meal for them. He'll prepare a meal for us today. It's certainly a metaphor for that as well. We don't know what they talked about when they ate. It says after they were finished eating. It's like Jesus said, okay, I'm going to let him eat first before I really lay this out there. And perhaps they had some conversation or just ate. But we're told in verse 15 of John chapter 21, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He's lovingly putting his arm around Peter and he's taking him to the edge of that cliff and showing him the cost of discipleship. Do you love me more than these? We don't know what these is unless we were standing there. Jesus was pointing to something. There are two pretty common speculations. One is that he was pointing to Peter's friends, the other disciples, his kinsmen. Do you love me more than these? Some of the commentary said perhaps he was pointing to the fish, that miraculous catch of fish. This was Peter's livelihood. This is what Peter knew. This is what Peter counted on to sustain him and his family. And he pointed to the fish and said, do you love me more than these? I don't think it really matters that we know for sure what he was pointing at. But the principle, I think, is very clear. And it leads me to my first point of today. And that is this. He desires that the only grip on the stone is his hand. He desires that the only grip on the stone is his hand. He wants nothing else to grip our lives. No fear of being rejected. No fear of provision. No fear of being lonely. No fear of death. No fear of failure. He doesn't want these things to grip our lives. He wants first priority. No obsession, no addiction to grip our lives. And this is his challenge to Peter, that nothing else would grip his life but his hand. I don't know if something is gripping your life today. A fear. Something that's going on. Chances are something is, or chances are it will. In our human nature, in our frail frame, chances are we're going to be periodically gripped by things. But here's the question. Are we willing to confront it confess it, repent of it, and make war against it. Are you ready for that? When that's what we're called to do, that is why we have the Holy Spirit. It's not just to wake up with warm fuzzies. And I don't want to belittle the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit in terms of the way it makes us, He makes us feel, but it's much more than that. Is something gripping your life? Is there lust? Is there fear? Is something gripping my life other than Him? I've got to confront it, confess it, repent of it, and make war against it. I heard this little excerpt of a John Piper sermon. It actually was in a Tadashi song of his new album. Some of you know who that is. He's a hip-hop, Christian hip-hop artist. And it's just great where you have this John Piper excerpt and then it goes into this rap song. Cool convergence of worlds. But he's basically saying, I am sick of hearing Christians murmur and complain about their failures and addictions. He said, we need to make war against it. War against your flesh. War against your sin nature. Strategize. Get up. Stay in the ring. Face it. Don't let it grip you. The grace of God is sufficient. I cannot promise you absolute victory tomorrow. But I can promise you that He will continue to deliver you day by day. Continue to confront it. Stay in the ring. Don't get out of the ring and give in and say, that's just me. It's a cop out. And it defames the name of Christ. And it impedes our effectiveness. Make war against it. Don't accept fear. Don't accept doubt. Don't accept lust. Whatever it is, make war against it. You know, you and I know the weapons of our warfare and how mighty they are in Christ. We've been given the Holy Scriptures. We have access to the very throne of God. Mercy and grace in our time of need. We have the body of Christ to lean on. We are not meant to fight war in isolation. We have Holy Eucharist, the fellowship of the brethren, the worship of heaven. Make war against it. Don't accept it. Confront it. Repent of it and make war against it. His grace is sufficient. Nothing should grip us but His hand. He continues to ask Peter this question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. And undoubtedly, I'm redeeming Peter's three denials. I think that's very clear. But every time Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Here's the second point today. He created the stone to be concrete, not merely conceptual or sentimental or ethereal. Hear me. Love is displayed in very concrete ways. Love is a verb. That's an old DC Talk song. Love is a verb. It is to be displayed in very concrete ways. You love me, Peter? Yeah. Feed my sheep. You love me? What did he say? Obey my commands. Don't say you love God and hate your brother. What is it? What are we called? A liar. Love is very concrete. Love is patient and kind. Does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Does not insist on its way. It is not irritable or resentful. Bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I say, ouch. Let me read it again. Love is patient and kind. Does not envy or boast. Is not arrogant or rude. Does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. There's nothing greater, and it never fails. What is our excuse for not loving others in concrete ways? What is it? What's our excuse? They mistreat me. They don't do what I want them to do. I'm stressed. I'm depressed. I'm just going to keep it very simple. Repent and love others with your attitude and your actions. Love others like Christ loves you. That's the standard. Scripture does not relent on its standard. Love others like Christ loves you and loves me. See, I believe at this point Peter knew that his love was inadequate. You remember he was the one that shook his fist and said, I'll never leave you, even if everyone else does. Yes, you will. Jesus would ask him the first two times, do you love me, using the word agape, you know, the unconditional love. And Peter would respond, yes, Lord, phileo, I love you in a brotherly way. Second time, the same exchange. The third time, it's as if Jesus says, and this is speculation, but it's as if Jesus says, okay, Peter, you get it. Do you phileo me? And Peter says, you know all things, Lord. I phileo you. Even though I feel like my love is inconsistent, it's expressing itself through a broken vessel, I'm going to continue to give what I have. I'm going to check my attitude. And when I mess up and when I speak to others the way I don't need to speak to them, I'm going to repent and ask for help. Lord, shed your love abroad in my heart. Show me how to love. Teach me to be patient and kind, not demanding my own way, not being boastful, not being irritable. I know my love is inconsistent, but you shed your love abroad in my heart. Let me, Lord, love others. Teach me to love others as you love me. That's the standard. Love never stands alone. We're called to love others in very concrete ways. Jesus is going to conclude by perhaps issuing his greatest challenge to Peter. And he says, when you were young, you went and did what you wanted to do. But when you're older, you'll stretch forth your hands, and a stranger will bind you and take you where you have no desire to go. It's a strong statement. It's really expressive of the word that Jesus uses in verse 19, follow me. A union that says, I'm not satisfied with Christ merely breaking into my world. And let me tell you this. If you're satisfied to live there, He'll meet you there. He's faithful. But do you want to go further? Do you want to be a part of that army that goes from 10,000 to 300? Do you want to be a part of a remnant that engages culture, that by God's grace wins people to Christ? Do you want to be a part of? Listen to me. I have not attained this message. I am challenged by it. Are we okay with Christ just continuing to break into my world? Are we saying, I want to be a part of your world? I want to follow you wherever you go and do whatever you call me to do. I don't want to relent. This is a challenge here. In our third point, which is he throws the stone in his direction to accomplish his purpose in battle. It's one direction. It's his direction. It's not just, hey, that first follow me. I want to hang out with you and learn some cool lessons that might make my life a little more comfortable and stuff. It's follow me and go wherever I go and do whatever I call you to do. It is a deeper level of discipleship. He knew what Peter would face, eventually his own martyrdom. But it's deeper than that. It's a way of life. It is not, Lord, here's my plans. Now bless them. It's, what is your plan, Lord? It's crying out to Him and saying, what is your plan? And if you struggle with that, let me give you my simple formula. Psalm 37, 3 through 5 is one of my favorite formulas for discerning God's will. It says, dwell in the land, no, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust and obey. Remember that song? For there's no other way. Great principle there. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. What's right in front of you today? What's right in front of me today? And then it says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust in Him and He'll bring it to pass. Be faithful with what's right in front of you. And as you're faithful, don't let other things grip you. Don't let fear bind you. Don't let obsessions keep you from having the focus that He's called you to. What's right in front of you today? What's right in front of me today? That's about discerning God's will, doing whatever He's called me to do today, loving concretely all those around me, especially those that agitate me. It's a good test. We were out there for a little while the other day on Smith Lake on the pontoon boat waiting for our brother to see if he would jump. I don't know how long it was. But all of a sudden I saw him walk again to the edge. And Robert Mayo took a leap off that cliff into the water below. I won't tell you what he said when he surfaced. Perhaps he can do that later. It's not necessarily a church conversation. It wasn't bad or anything. It was just honest. Listen, there was a standing ovation on that pontoon boat. Men in tears. Because we knew what that meant for him. And I said to him afterwards, I said, what were you thinking right before? What kind of pushed you over the edge? And he first said, you know, I've never been more afraid in all my life. He said, but I had decided that I wasn't going to go back the way I came. I'd walked up one way, I was going down another. And I challenge you and I challenge myself, as I leave today, as you leave today, don't go back the way you came. I invite you every day to take a leap off that cliff and embrace the cost of discipleship. And as things try to grip you, as fear creeps in, and you're scared, young people, that if it means following Christ, people will reject you, embrace Christ and take the leap. Don't worry about being alone. He's faithful. He'll raise up some real friends. Don't worry about failing or going broke. Or even dying. And that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. You're going to go where you have no desire to go. No one wants to be crucified. Are we willing to embrace the cost? Are we willing to love others in concrete ways like He loves us? In our attitude and our actions? And are we willing to say, Lord, and I pray that this is your prayer. I want to go wherever you go and do whatever you call me to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith in the Word.